I'm David Gear, and I've been a listener of KMEW since I was a student at Wichita State back in the 80s, and have been an avid listener ever since, and it's just my go-to station. I felt that there was a value in increasing my one-time pledge because I value KMEW. I value NPR as a news source, as an entertainment source, and I just did not want to see KMEW or NPR for that matter go away.
Good morning. It's Monday, September 15th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Jack Baumgartner is a farmer in Rose Hill, and he's also a painter. His most recent work, The Fourth Vision of Zechariah, has already been acquired for a private collection. Torin Anderson spoke with Baumgartner before the piece left his studio, and we'll hear more about that after the news. Wichita's new watering plan goes into effect today. Under the Water-Wise Conservation Plan, homes with addresses ending in odd numbers will water on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Even addresses will water on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. No watering is allowed on Mondays. All watering must take place before 10 in the morning or after 6 in the evening. People who use well water to irrigate are exempt from the restrictions. The plan is an attempt to reduce pressure on Cheney Reservoir, which is the city's main source of water. More information is at wichita.gov. Botanica officials hope support from Wichita City leaders will help the garden secure $7 million in state funding for an expansion. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish tells us more about what Botanica is planning.
The Water Journey project would expand Botanica's footprint into neighboring Sim Park. In that space, new French or Italian-style gardens, a conservatory, greenhouse, reservoir, and water-focused learning center would be added. Botanica officials say the area would be a study in water conservation and reuse. It would use water left over from testing at the new wastewater treatment plant and stormwater runoff to support the gardens and interactive water exhibits. The expansion needs the backing of the City Council. The state grant only accepts applications from municipalities and special water districts. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Kansas education leaders have released new charts that will allow districts to roughly compare this year's state test scores to those from last year, KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
Officials had previously warned that year-over-year comparisons would not be possible because of redesigned tests and all new cut scores. But Matt Copeland with the University of Kansas Testing Center says new concordance tables will help districts continue to measure progress.
We haven't shifted from apples to oranges. If I had to give a better metaphor, we've gone from a Red Delicious apple to a Honeycrisp apple.
The 16 tables show linked scores for each grade level and subject. Test officials say they should not be used to compare individual student scores from one grade to the next. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
Opinions are strong, but little is known about the Trump administration's plan to reorganize the U.S. Department of Agriculture. As Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris reports, USDA has extended the comment period through the end of the month.
Basically, the USDA would spread more than half its positions currently in Washington among five cities, including Kansas City and Indianapolis, where the jobs would be closer to farmers and pay less. Karen Perry Sillerman with the Union of Concerned Scientists says the USDA has already lost more than 16,000 employees this year, and the shakeup would trigger another round of departures.
When you make it hard for people to do their jobs on behalf of the American public, you lose those people, and we've seen this before.
In the first Trump administration, the USDA moved two agencies to Kansas City. More than half the employees quit, the agencies were hobbled, and ultimately moved back to Washington. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Frank Morris.
The National Cleanup Day celebration on Saturday will include two projects in Sedgwick County. Lake Afton and Sedgwick County Park will be the focus of the cleanups. Volunteers will work at each park from 9 to noon. The to-do list includes picking up litter and outdoor debris, such as sticks and branches. Volunteers will also help paint shelters. Children under 16 must be accompanied by an adult. A registration form and waiver are required for participation. There's more information at sedgwickcounty.org. The rate of Kansas children without health insurance has climbed to its highest level in more than a decade, according to new data released by the U.S. Census Bureau. Jay Schaefer reports.
Historically, the uninsured rates for Kansas children have been close to the national average, but that gap widened in 2024. The share of uninsured children in Kansas rose to 7% last year. That's the highest rate in 11 years. For the fourth consecutive year, the overall uninsured rate in Kansas was higher than the national average. Here's what this means. Children in Kansas are more likely to be uninsured than children in other parts of the country. All low-income children are affected, but Hispanic, Black, and Native American children are more likely to be uninsured than white children. I'm Jay Schaefer.
We'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Lou Ann Stevens, Assistant General Manager at KMUW. By now, you've probably heard about KMUW's Pint Night. But if you haven't made it to one yet, you are missing out. It's a great chance to meet the people that you hear on the air and a great chance to meet other public radio listeners. It's fun, and you should be there. This month, we're meeting on Wednesday, September 17th, from 5:30 to 7 at Hopping Gnome. That's at 1719 East Victor. Join us. You'll love it.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. There's no shortage of biblical representations in art. We know this from the cathedrals and churches full of holy works. Modern painters still grapple with many of these stories and depict them in various ways. Jack Baumgartner is a farmer in Rose Hill. His most recent work, The Fourth Vision of Zechariah, has already been acquired for a private collection. Torin Anderson talked with Baumgartner before this painting left his studio.
Jack Baumgartner starts by showing me the land he tends. After sharing his joy of farming, all the way from the dung beetle to the heirloom machinery he uses and modifies to produce goods, he takes me to his workshop.
I could go and look at farm stuff all day long, so, but I imagine you want to talk about art too.
I do. Baumgartner's painting studio shares a roof with his wood shop. In this space, he creates music, furniture, prints, poems, and many other creative pursuits to move his spirit.
How the art was functioning in these contexts, it was a spiritual technology. And that blew me away. I'm like, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm interested in. Doing something real by being a painting.
This is the moment that locked Baumgartner in at Kansas City Art Institute nearly 25 years ago. The realization that his painting allowed his spirit to travel.
I just realized that's what was happening to me, was that I was going somewhere and I was experiencing something. Early on in school even, I realized that I was painting these landscapes because I wanted to go there.
Baumgartner has taken this feeling through stories of the Bible, specifically this painting about a vision shared in the book of Zechariah.
I've always sort of felt like a kinship with his visual language.
After the Israelites return from Babylon and start rebuilding, Baumgartner's painting depicts an angel taking Joshua to a council of heavenly beings.
And the angel of the Lord is there, and Satan is there. And like there's these other angels there, and Satan is accusing the high priest, and his name is Joshua, and he's like, well, it's imposter syndrome, I guess. He's saying he's not fit to be the high priest.
And the angel commands to put clean clothes on Joshua.
There's this, it always strikes me as kind of funny, like Zechariah, who's watching with this angel from the side, like shouts out, like, put a clean turban on his head. So there's like this angel's putting the turban on his head, and he's being like wrapped. And then there's all this crazy stuff.
Then there are the symbols of divine empowerment for rebuilding the temple.
There's like a seven-faceted stone that shows up. There's this lampstand that's being fed by olive trees, like perpetually fed by olive trees. There's like a stone that comes down out of like the heavens, like a capstone.
The story ends on a well-rooted connecting point for Baumgartner.
Like the angel of the Lord says, I'll remove the guilt of this land in one day. And it's just like one of those heavy, and being like a farmer too, having a really deep relationship with soil and land, a desire to like see land restored from a physical, like a health standpoint, but also from a spiritual, like seeing these things as connected. That is a really strong statement.
Baumgartner says his paintings are not about saying something.
I just am like trying to understand, I don't even know if I'm trying to understand, like I'm just trying to listen.
He has developed a character, like an avatar, to explore his work more deeply.
So like there's these three guys here. One of them is the angel, one of them Zachariah, and the third one is a character called Walking Man. So he's sort of like an everyman slash self-portrait character. I imagine like what maybe Walking Man is there too and gets to witness this. Like what if I got to witness this?
Baumgartner's painting is a way to manifest this vision that otherwise might lose its enormity through description alone.
I feel like I'm maybe missing the point of the whole story if I try and like solve it. All these things are ways of like getting at something bigger than what we can describe. If we can just describe it like this, talking to each other, then it's like, well, we're not seeing big enough.
For KMUW Arts, I'm Torin Anderson.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Join KMUW for Literary Feast this September as we read The Hounding by Zenobi Purvis. We'll meet on Wednesday, September 24th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at KMUW for a discussion and dinner from Public. Guests are invited to bring a beverage to share. Watermark Books and Cafe will also be there with next month's selection available for purchase. Tickets are $15 at kmuw.org. Literary Feast is made possible by The Spice Merchant, a founding sponsor of the Arts and Culture Fund.
It's rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.